This is Dr. XH Balthazar. I am broadcasting once again to present my findings from the world of the uncanny. Hello again, dear listeners. It is nice to finally be broadcasting to all of you once again. I hope my previous transmission did not leave you all in fright. As you can tell, I am alive and filled with a new sense of excitement about my investigations. You must have questions about what happened. The cavern was like nothing I have ever seen before. The walls were made of a crystalline structure that glimmered like the most beautiful diamond. It was a truly breathtaking scene. I almost lost total focus on the task at hand. In fact, I'm finding it hard to recall what happened after my encounter with the entity. However, from what I can glean of the recording, I was not alone. Beyond that, what memories I have retained are images of things I cannot comprehend. Mr. Jenkins, bravely and courageously, came down after me and pulled me out. He found me alone, curled up in the dirt of the cavern, rambling unconscious. I was quarantined in a remote location for several weeks. My activity was monitored, and I was constantly questioned about my experience. I still cannot describe to you what it was I saw down there. Every time my mind tries to reimagine it, all I see is complete darkness. After my quarantine, I had a meeting with the director of the organization, PREI. P-R-E-I. It is an acronym for the Paranormal Research and Excavation Institute. They have team members all across the globe, but their primary headquarters is located in the Northeast. PREI said they would give me greater guidance in my investigations, which leads to this new transmission I bring to you all. I was asked to travel to the eastern region of Alaska, outside of Anchorage. I was to meet an Inuit man by the name of Pana. He was taking me to a place called the Alaskan Triangle. It is much like that area between Bermuda and Puerto Rico, where ships and planes tend to have mysterious mechanical issues, disappear, or be downed. But what I learned from my guide is that there is a deeper connection to the Inuit folklore. Upon landing in Anchorage, I had a rendezvous with my guide. He said we were going to stay in a campsite just on the edge of the forbidden area. We sat down for a meal where he explained our trip. Pana told me he was only willing to take me to a certain point. I did not believe him, but he was quite serious. I pulled out the recorder and began to interview him. He spoke to me about his tribe's belief in the place and a dark spirit called the Kilut, a hairless dog said to carry away the dead. I shall play his recording for all of you to listen to now. I studied at a Catholic school that was a few miles away from the town I grew up in. The teachers there felt it was their duty to show us the true word of God.
Do you resent them for their piousness?
No, they wanted to do good. I know that. They were just very misguided in how they went about it. Some of my friends still have the scars.
I see.
Don't worry about it. It's the past.
Indeed. So, have you been contacted by PREI before?
A few years ago. They wanted to go to the same place I'm taking you to.
Are you the only guide?
Yes and no. Many will guide people all over the area, but none will venture into the triangle.
Do they fear it?
Once again, yes and no. It's not the triangle itself,
but what occupies the triangle.
Such as?
Well, for one, the Kilut.
Those are? Spirit dogs. They're massive hairless dogs that travel across the tundra in search of dead people.
or people about to die. They usually only travel at night.
I see. And this is a story that is passed down from the elders of your tribe?
It's not a story. They're real. I've seen one.
When was this?
One night when I was walking home from school. They didn't have transportation for us all the way back to our village, so we had to cross open fields of snow in the pitch dark. It's quite dangerous, especially for young children. During the warmer months, sometimes the woman of our village would meet us at the drop-off point since it would still be light out. But that doesn't happen often out here. On this night, I was walking back with my friend, a put. It had stopped snowing and we could see all the stars above us. We were about half a mile away from our village when we heard this howl. We were used to the sound of wolves and other animals out here in the wilderness, but this wasn't like any howl I'd ever heard. It was deep and hollow. It seemed to come straight from the ribcage of the animal. We didn't want to be out there with whatever that was alone. Our pace quickened. We could see the lights of our village up ahead. But I looked down and caught a glimpse of snow beneath our feet and stopped. There were these paw prints. They were larger than any wolves I had ever seen, and much larger than our dogs. I told my friend to wait, but he just kept running. So I picked up the pace and we made it back into our village. Once we entered, we noticed right away that something was wrong. The campfire was raging, but there was no one there. We looked around and saw that the entire tribe was gathering around the town elder's home. When we approached, my mother told me that he was a few moments away from death. We were to wait outside until he had passed, and then we would begin the mourning ceremony. I tried to explain that we saw some strange paw prints in the snow and needed to investigate, but she shushed me and told me to be patient. I was too energetic as a kid, so I went to explore. There were more paw prints behind the house. I followed them. They led all the way to the back of our dying elder's home. It was there, heading towards the tundra. I stopped dead in my tracks. It was hard to see, but I could just capture its frame from the light of the campfire. It was the largest beast I had ever seen. I gasped so loud that it turned back to look at me. I tried to look away at the sight, but couldn't. Its eyes were entrancing. It had something in its mouth. At first, I couldn't tell what it was, but as my eyes adjusted, I saw it clear as day. It was the head of our dead elder in between its massive teeth. After we locked eyes for a moment, it turned around and fled into the darkness. I had heard it carried the dead off, but I didn't know it was like that.
That must have been a very frightening sight for a child.
It was incredibly disturbing. And the strangest thing, there was no trace of it. There was no tracks in the morning, no blood. Like I said, it hadn't snowed, so usually you'd be able to track it with ease, but there was nothing. I followed my footprints and couldn't find anything else. It was like it had never existed.
Have you seen the creature since then?
No, but I will see it on my deathbed. That I know for sure. All right, you ready to make our way out there? It's going to be a long journey.
I am prepared.
Okay, well, leave that recording device here. It's safe, no one will tamper with it, and it takes up too much space on the journey. Panna and I journeyed for 3 hours out past Anchorage, east into the tundra of Alaska. He had arranged for dog sleds for travel. Soon, we found ourselves before the edge of the triangle. If you were to look at a map, the space of interest stems from Anchorage, up north to Barrow, and then down towards Juneau. We stayed close to Anchorage, as that is where home base was, and Panna assured me that we would become lost if we trekked out further. I did not mind that we were only on the edge of the triangle, since there was a heavy electrical field buzzing around us. I immediately began to take readings. A common device I use in understanding paranormal activity is an EMF, or electromagnetic field reader. These are used frequently in the field of parapsychology. After we had set up our camp, I turned on the device, but had to immediately shut it off. The meter was reading at the highest frequency. I tried to recalibrate it, but the same problem occurred. I realized that my device was not acting out, since I too could hear the disturbance. There was a low hum all around us. It was as if there was something underneath the snow that was causing the loose flakes to vibrate. It was evident the dogs were not enjoying it either, as they kept yelping and trying to squirm out of their harnesses. A few of them made it out and began to run back the way we came. Panna had to chase after them, leaving me alone in the area by myself. The endless white fields of snow were terrifying. It made perfect sense that many get lost or disappear. The energy was palpable. I was having difficulty concentrating. Perhaps this was the effect of the area on my mind. We only spent that night in the triangle. I left my tent without protective gear and began to walk further east. I have zero recollection of this, but I do remember a voice calling out to me, the dream that made me believe I was walking. I am just glad and thankful that Panna had the fortitude and patience to take care of me. After sledding back to Anchorage, I sent my notes and journal off to the Prey researchers. They have deployed a team to investigate further. I have been told by my colleague, Mr. K, that they have incredible technology for their campsite. That is all for this broadcast. I look forward to sharing more intriguing and mystifying tales of my encounters. But for now, goodbye and good night.